Tankard of Destiny Center Church over in Murfreesboro. Thank you guys for tuning in to hear my good friend Sharon Kay right here on What's the 411. She is my favorite talk show host. Y'all know that's my auntie, right?
For real though. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful moms, grandmas, and great grandmas, and aunties, and sisters, and everybody who stands in the gap for someone in a motherly way. You earned it too, honey. Yeah, you did.
And happy Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. And I'll take it. I will. Thank you so much. And when you first said that to me this morning when you first came in, I said, I'm glad to see one. Another one.
Amen. Hey, yeah. Amen.
I am so glad. So, you know, I thank the Lord for all of you all out there. That God is in control, and he's got you in his loving sight, and he blesses your day regardless of whatever the situation is out there for you. Get to see him or not, or talk to him or not. That, you know, the Father, we send our love out there to you this bright and early on this Sunday morning. So much headlines and stuff to get into this morning, but I just personally want to say, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that recently lost a mom and or motherly influence in their life and are struggling. This year's their first time without the presence and the love of that person. And just dwell on the memories, the good ones, and even some funny ones, too. I lost my mom almost 5 years ago, and every year it's gotten a little easier on Mother's Day. That first one was really hard. But for me, because, you know, my mom has played, a tremendous role in my life, and the undisputed queen of love and talk shows. My mom loved talk shows. And she listened for years to me on the air, supporting my work and you know, the chats and things we would have about the topics and the guests and the books and what Reverend such and such said, or this or that, you know. And then every year, for some many, many years, up until the last one, my mom and ex's mom would always be stars on the 411 show. And I would let, you know, both of them give their motherly wisdom. And, you know, we chat up a little bit. So I do miss that time that I have been able to pull her in since then. But I do very much look forward to hearing from Miss Hattie Lawson here shortly. She's always up and at 'em for us in the great state of Georgia. And we'll check on her ex's mother. And see how she's doing. And also, I want to say a special good morning and love, much love to my spiritual mother, who has stood in the gap for me in terms of being on this side of heaven and being strong and ever present. She and my mom knew each other and they were friends. And they would keep up with me as much as they could. Happy Mother's Day and good morning to Miss Martha Brown.
Yes, happy Mother's Day, Miss Brown.
Sometime you all see her here at the station. And then sometimes I go to certain things, depending on what it is, a play or a church thing. And I have her with me. So that's who that is. And her children and grandchildren know that I'm borrowing her for a minute, and I love her, and we have the best time, but I'm going to take her back. Oh, yeah. But they so used to me. They've been knowing me forever. But having said that, I just want to wish her a special happy Mother's Day. And you have big plans for Mrs. L?
I ordered some restaurant food.
Good for you.
Yeah, we're going to pick
it up. Good for you.
Bring it home.
Did you get her some stuff, some food she likes? Not just what you like.
She left it up to me.
Oh, really now?
So it's going to be.
Okay. Don't be getting no drive-through window stuff now.
No, McDonald's and Wendy's. But
praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, let's have some fish, baby. Let's go to Kennedy's. No. Mm-mm. Yeah. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And maybe soon y'all be able to go out and, you know, do some things.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm still watching.
Still
watching.
My eyes are still on the sparrow out here because there's still a bunch of crazy folk. But anyway, my children are something else, you know. We just always figure out some kind of way how to make something happen, you know. Yeah. Just creative.
They probably haven't told you what they have in store yet.
Well, sort of. You know, I turned it into like it's a 2-day extravaganza.
Okay.
the pre and then the day of. So, for just in case somebody, one of them, So my son is going to grill and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and he's gotten quite good. So yeah. I'm just looking forward.
It is that season to grill.
Yeah.
It is.
And I'm looking forward to that. And me and the girls, we got our to-go boxes and had just a wonderful time yesterday, just cutting up. So classic stuff. I do my photo bombs. And I had gone through a lot of photos. And I had some classic golden oldies.
Oh.
So that was our our laugh-a-thon, the bad hairdo shots. And I cannot believe you wore that dress. Where were you going? And we just had a wonderful time. Wonderful, wonderful. Just cracking up. And these will be the shots you never see on Facebook. Never to. So
you hope.
They did not put any of the, because it's all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's them. My nieces.
As long as everybody touching the green, everybody
right,
didn't
right.
Know on
Bad
there.
Hair day photos with everybody. Yeah. I got all y'all in here. So, you can't, post that one. Yeah, and the bad outfits and the tennis shoes and stuff not matching,
Back in the day. I had an army buddy who tagged me to a photo from 20-something years ago.
And you were like, oh, Lord.
I was like, dude, not that one. Right. Inbox that one.
Right. That's the worst kind. Yeah, people say, oh, you look good. You lying. You lying.
Nah, yeah. You can't put that one out.
No, please, Lord. Yeah, I got some. And those will not be revealed. Yeah. Okay. Will not. But anyway, amidst all of the festivities and stuff and some people will be doing all kinds of things today, to show their mothers that they love them and as much as they possibly can. And I got the news Friday night that my cousin that has the coronavirus died.
And, I am so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know. That was really hard, you know, because we knew. And then I was talking to his sister yesterday, my cousin in L.A. Now, both of us have lost a loved one to coronavirus.
Yeah.
And people keep acting like this stuff is not real. If people don't wear these masks and do right, this thing is never going to go away, y'all. So, you know, you can have a fit and stomp and act a fool if you want to. But we're trying to save our lives out here in this world. We're trying to save our lives. If you don't care about yours, that's one thing. But your germs, we don't want to, you know, we want to get this thing over with. So, you know, we can move back into some normal life, but to get mad and freak out and act a fool, you know, it doesn't even make any sense. You know, it's like some people just have a death wish on themselves, you know, it doesn't make any sense. If the health professionals and scientists and everything are telling you this is going to at least make a difference and 6 foot distance is going to make a difference, well, why can't you do it? I mean, why is that so hard? Just do it, and we could be done, and let's move, you know, move forward on some things. But just to be so resistant and so silly, and years from now, people are going to look back on this and say, boy, that was stupid. Yes, it was. Good Lord. Anyway, and, you know, one of the things that my cousin was telling me about watching this scenario. He was in a nursing home, and he passed in the hospital because he had been in the nursing home for a little while. He got it while he was there.
Oh, wow.
And then, but she, you know, the misery of not being able to be there, to be, you know, to hold a person's hand or to just, you know, comfort them.
And be there with them.
Yeah, and just to talk or, you know, just anything like that, you know, just as she was describing that, my heart just went out to the thousands and thousands of people who are suffering. And she talked about the amount of tubes and things, you know, and the fluids that they were trying, the healthcare workers who had really, the nurses and the doctors who had just worked tirelessly to try to keep him alive. And the day before, they allowed her to come in and, you know, completely gowned up and PPE'd up,
yeah,
top to bottom, to look through the window.
Oh, wow.
And say goodbye like that. So, I mean, that's real for people. And I don't know why, for the life of me, the folks are just being idiotic and acting like this stuff is not real. You know, just there's really something really, really wrong with y'all. As people are suffering in a terrible way, and they worrying about going shopping, there's something really, really wrong with you. Anyway, we got some headlines coming up,
mm-hmm.
and the book next hour is a new one. It just, like, came out, like, last week, a week before last.
Something like that. It's brand spanking new.
It truly is. It is entitled Soul Care in African American Practice, and the author is Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock. She is a spiritual director, an author, teacher, and a preacher. She is the founder of the Barbara L. Peacock Ministries, a ministry committed to developing disciples through prayer, spiritual direction, soul care, mentoring, and teaching. So we'll be talking with her during the 8 o'clock hour about soul care, caring for your soul. Your heart, your soul, your mind. And I do see she's got a lovely quote on the back from one of the authors that's been on the show before.
Which one is that?
The author of A Sojourner's Truth, Natasha Sistrunk Robinson.
Okay.
She wrote, Dr. Peacock does a wonderful job of introducing to some and reminding others of the role African-American spiritual mothers and fathers have played in shaping the hearts of God's people and a nation. Very nice.
Yeah.
So she was, last year, year before last, Miss Robinson was on. So that's lovely. And so that's 8 o'clock. Now, let's see what we got looking here locally. The names and addresses of Tennesseans who tested positive for COVID-19 are being provided to first responders, law enforcement, and paramedics under a state agreement deemed necessary to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. According to documents obtained by the Associated Press, the agreement was finalized April 3rd between Tennessee's Department of Health and the state's Emergency Communications Board. The agreement, known as a Memorandum of Understanding, wasn't publicized when it was signed, but instead distributed to local leaders across the state. And here's how our numbers look in the state of Tennessee. The State Department of Health has confirmed 327 additional cases of COVID-19, bringing the state's total number of cases to 14,768. The department said 242 deaths have been reported. Tennessee Department of Health officials released the latest data yesterday, saying they have been steady on the job. So we probably won't get an update till maybe sometime tomorrow or next day or something.
Yeah.
But they're going to, you know, I think they're going to start spacing these updates out a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah.
But you do really, you know, you can see things tick up.
Yeah. You know. And one of the things that I've been hearing, and I hope it doesn't happen here, at least in this region, is that they don't start skewing the numbers. You know, I was... they're saying that coming from the White House, they may try to tamper down the numbers and keep people from knowing what the real numbers are.
Anything come from the White House, I don't trust it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a sack of donuts. Yeah. I don't trust it. Okay? Because there's pure agenda in that. Yep. I don't trust it.
Trying to keep the numbers,
I'd rather talk to the hand.
Not counting numbers, not counting the prison numbers, the healthcare facility and all those type of numbers that need to be added,
which is ridiculous. It's not like somebody's a fool, boo-boo the fool. And also the Metro Nashville public health officials confirmed 126 additional cases of COVID-19. All somebody has to do is sit up there and take every state stuff and get it and just run a calculator. I mean, you know, bringing the Davidson County total number of cases to 3,586, 35 deaths have been reported. The confirmed cases in the county range in age from 1 month to 99 years, and 1,847 individuals have recovered from the virus. The Metro Health Department COVID-19 hotline has received 220 calls on Friday. And the 8th, yesterday, day before, they got 1,319 hospitalizations and 7,369 have recovered from the virus. So there's recovery in there as well. And that's what we pray for all the people out there, that there be some recovery. So anyway, moving on. IRS volunteers getting bonus pay and workers at a handful of national parks are among the first federal workers venturing back under Trump administration guidelines for the coronavirus outbreak. The Trump administration says its phased plan for returning some 2 million federal workers is strongly based on local conditions in the pandemic. Some unions representing federal workers say those guidelines are too loose and fear the administration will rush back federal workers to try to kick the U.S. economy back on its feet. And the Great Smoky Mountains Park reopened yesterday. So you know what happened when that
It started got flooded with people.
They packed in there. They packed in. I'll talk about that coming up. Also, the legend, Little Richard.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I know. That's just such a giant.
Wow. Yeah.
He is a trailblazing. Yeah. The legend.
He was just here in Nashville, what, about a year ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
2 years ago? Something like that. Recently.
He lived here.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. He lived downtown in a hotel.
Oh.
And he had been living in Tullahoma.
Okay.
For a long time. But yeah, he liked Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks in these bushes out here just don't know.
Just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know.
Quiet place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we got other news to talk about as well. So let's take our first time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, we're showing moms much love.
I always have to do that, man. That's my girl.
That's Sir Charles Jones. He's talking about his mom this weekend. He has the Fast Track Blues Soundbite. And Trudy Lynn will perform one of her past performances live this weekend just for mom. Join me, Rosina Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this Mother's Day weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Class of 2020, you're special. Through all of this adversity and a senior year only you can understand, you met the challenge. You've stood strong, and now you're graduating. A milestone we don't want to miss. Join LeBron James, Pharrell Williams, Malala, Yara Shahidi, the Jonas Brothers, Her, Bad Bunny, and many more on May 16th at 8 p.m. for a one-hour special event honoring America's high school seniors. On ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and with special experiences on Snapchat. Essentially everywhere. To celebrate you, your friends, teachers, your families, and most of all, this incredible class of 2020. Let's gather with family and loved ones to celebrate the graduating class of 2020. We can hardly wait to see you start changing the world. Graduate together, Saturday, May 16th at 8 p.m. 7 Central.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you, and I do mean we thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411 for many years, and it's been a blessing to the broadcast in terms of support for a long time. So now it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the precious mommies out there. And I want to say Happy Mother's Day, too. There's mothers that are behind bars today that it's still Mother's Day for them. And hopefully this experience, when they come out, they will not ever return to that position. And they can always enjoy, hopefully always be able to enjoy their children. Anyway, on Wednesday, I'm going to talk to, I can't think of his first name, Dr. Guskey. He's an emergency room physician about the coronavirus. And he's going to bring my news from the community, and he's from another part of the U.S. And then Pam, I think it's Pam Trice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is owns a company that has organic hair care.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about the organic hair care line, and it's a woman and minority owned.
I've never heard of organic hair. Well, is that hair natural? Care? Is that the natural hair that you get from people?
No, organic. No? Can the stuff you put on it, like probably.
Like the products that you put on it, like spray and grease and
vitamins and minerals and all that stuff. So yeah, we'll you don't have to worry about that.
Not anymore. Unless they have something that can help it grow back, I'm all for that. Yeah.
Fill in all the blanks.
That's a billion-dollar product there.
No kidding. Or organic beard care or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Mayor Cooper, John Cooper, will be with us. And you put this in here today, right?
I did.
Okay. So I'm seeing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. It'll be a power hour. The mayor, Cooper, at 5, and at 5:30, Sheriff Darren Hall.
Yes.
So.
And I heard from his trusted associate that he is prepared to answer questions about the coronavirus.
In the jail.
In the jails.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because
he's not going to duck it.
Amen. Because it's going to be asked. And just as a footnote, they were actually scheduled a month ago to do this.
That's correct.
And that was when we had to not be here. No one could be on the campus. So we had to move out with the quickness. And had to, matter of fact, it was that week coming up.
That's correct. It sure was. It sure was.
I'm like, oh, my God.
And so much has happened in that amount of time. I mean,
I know it. It's like, Lord. But we're happy to see that they were able to get them back. And they understood. No, they were cool with that. Anyway, Little Richard, one of the chief architects of rock and roll, died over the weekend. He was 87. Pastor Bill Minson, a close friend of Little Richard's, told the Associated Press that Little Richard died yesterday morning after battling bone cancer. Known for his piercing wail, pounding piano, and towering pompadour, he had a conch jack from way back. He irrevocably altered popular music while introducing black R&B to white America. I remember the days when, he was on TV and banging on that piano, and that man used to get down. And we used to dance our, you know what's off back in them days. His hits included Long Tall Sally and Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
The trailblazing rocker helped shatter the color line on the music charts, joining Chuck Berry and Fats Domino and bringing what was called race music into the mainstream. And now they love it. That's so crazy how that turned out. A native of Macon, Georgia, he was. He dealt with health problems in recent years, including a heart attack, hip replacement surgery, and a stroke. Though his performances were few, he continued to make occasional appearances, including a 2013 event with CeeLo Green in Atlanta by the local chapter there of the recording industry. And he also made an appearance at, he was Lifetime Achievement Award at the Black Museum Awards thing that they had a couple of years ago. And he was there in his electronic, fantastically fabulous wheelchair. And people got to see him and, you know, for the few minutes that he was in there. And it was just really good to see a legend. But Little Richard was born Richard Penniman, and he grew up in the Pleasant Hill neighborhood of Macon, Georgia, the son of Leva Mae Penniman and Charles Bud Penniman, and just a regular, plain old, hardworking folks. His daddy was a brick mason and a good provider. Little Richard said the house was clean, and at Christmas we had everything. So, mom and daddy both was hardworking people, and he probably was proud. If he grew up and had everything, that means that daddy was laying in bricks, wasn't he?
Yeah. That's true.
He totally was. He was, you know, a good father. Mother was a good mother and provider. And speaking of good mothers and providers, let me say gracious good morning and happy Mother's Day to Miss Hattie Lawson in Athens, Georgia. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Sharon. Good morning to you. And good morning to my son, Exum. And I'm listening to you all online.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm tuned in.
I just love it. You are my Georgia people. They be checking in on me sometime. My sister said one day, I heard you when you said, I was like, Lord, I got to watch out if I say something about family, because she straight up could hone in on it every time.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this
video
is something else.
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. So, Hattie, have you been having a blessed day today so far?
I have. I got up a little early. Mm-hmm. I got up early, and I have my cup of tea every morning. So mm-hmm. I got my tea ready, hot and steaming.
Oh,
and
my.
I said, okay, today is Mother's Day. Another year's gone, and another year's here, and I ain't gone.
All right. Well, you know what? I had said something similar to that this morning when X told me, Happy Mother's Day. I was like, I'm glad to see another one come, you know.
That's right.
Because you honestly do not know. And
do not know.
You have anything, the children have anything big planned for you, or what, you know, they going to call you? Or?
Two of them are here. Half of the girls are here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know what they planned. I'm sure they planned on doing some cooking, because yeah. I'm not cooking. I don't know what that's in their plan, but I won't be cooking.
So
I'm going to plan that part for them.
Yeah, so they're going to hit right there. I am not. I hear you on that. That's out. I know that's right. So how have you been down there? How you all doing? I know your state has quite a few more cases of the COVID-19. What about where you live?
Well, it's right here where we are. You know, the numbers are not, we're not heavily populated, and I don't even know right now what the numbers are. I have not checked lately for Clark County.
Okay.
So I really can't speak on what the number is here. But the state of Georgia as a whole, it's a sad situation for as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That the governor would allow things to go back in place, and our number has not peaked. We're still steadily climbing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're steadily climbing, and he's opened up businesses. And I know businesses are suffering, but it's just a sad situation.
It is.
Sad situation.
And are people venturing out, or are they?
Oh, yes, Lord. They're venturing out. You ride past stores and lines are almost out the door, and I'm like, oh my God. And then half of them are not, most of them don't have the mouth covered, the nose covered. And I really don't think we really think it's serious. We really don't take it serious.
That's true. That is so true.
We're not. And it's a very serious situation.
Well, I just can't get over people that even after tens of thousands of people have died, they're still in denial. I'm like, there's really something wrong with y'all. If all these people have passed and, you know, folks don't, they think it's a hoax or a joke or it's not real and let's just brush it away. I mean, that's not how a disease works.
And they think it can't happen to me.
Wow.
No, we always have that. Exactly, it can't happen to me.
They better think again.
Oh, I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know when our numbers here are going to peak.
Yeah.
Some people are just getting tested.
Yeah.
You're just getting enough tests. I don't even know if we have enough tests.
Wow.
But a lot of our people still have not been tested. So the number is going to climb until everyone practically has been tested.
That's true. Well, and, you know, I don't think anybody, any state anywhere is been adequately tested. But we do know for sure that a pandemic doesn't care what race you are, what county you in, who's your political party. It does not your zip code. It doesn't care.
And it doesn't care what's going on in your life right then either. It doesn't care about the election that's got to be held very soon for Georgia, for the country. Well, I guess for the country too. It doesn't care. It doesn't care. And how do these things matter? When it's straight, when it's moving around, it's moving.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true.
Yep.
Well, I hope that you are, you know, I already know the we old schooler, we taking our precautions.
Look, they asked me about church. Where was I going back to our fellowship church, you know, our church? I said, if it opens next Sunday, I will not be there.
Right.
I am going to wait on God and see what He says for me to do because God gave me common sense.
Yes, amen.
Even though they open the doors of where I worship, if it's not my time to worship, and they said, well, where is your faith? Faith? I also got to have common sense.
That's true.
I have common sense.
Yeah, and, you know, you can have faith, but if you have no brain, you can't do
that. That's it.
You can't do the works. You can't.
And you're not benefiting anyone.
No, not even close. And, you know, the facts are is that, you know, a lot of spread has taken place in churches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, for a while, even like the churches in Kentucky, they still going to have service and carry on anyway. And good luck, y'all. But I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You already know if you're in mass that what's going to happen in mass is, you know, somebody's going to, you know, be not feeling well, be sick or asymptomatic. Yep. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
And see, that's the scary part, the asymptomatic, you know. People are walking around with it but don't know it. It's not affecting them.
Right.
Because right now I know of some people that going through that right now.
Mm.
They are don't feel sick, but they've been diagnosed as being positive.
Mm-mm-mm.
But that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that I know.
Wow.
So it does exist.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you just don't you could really literally be anywhere at any point in time. So, you know, when you I've been talking with my family, so my sister, like, I am not going anywhere in any of those stores. That's out. And, you know, I don't care if the doors of the church are open.
Right.
That's
right.
No. But, you know, I just would pray that the Father's children.
I just, you know, the thing that I want to tell the listening audience, and when you talk about your fellowship and where you worship, still support the church through your monetary value. You know,
amen.
Send your tithes and your offering.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to be physically, you know, just because you don't go, you don't attend service on a Sunday, the house of God still has to operate.
Amen.
I'm talking to the listening audience right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to physically be there to say, I'm gonna support this church with my tithes and my offering.
Sure.
They have to give it a five. They have, you can mail it to your fellowship. To support your fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
the doors of your fellowship should not close because we as members are not physically there.
Right. Well, the church is not the building anyway. So.
Well, I'm saying that. That's why I say the fellowship in the building itself, because church is within us.
Yeah.
But wherever you worship, wherever that place is that you worship, that physical building,
right.
do your part, send your tithes and your offerings to your church, your fellowship. And when I say church, we're so accustomed to saying church, but when I say church, I mean the physical building.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
right.
I know that.
Do support it. You know, that building should not close because we as members are not physically there.
Absolutely not. And
in your offering.
Yeah, and hopefully that on some of these online services, they have a link that you can go on there and, you know, make your tithe and stuff and offering.
That's
and
right. So easy now.
Yeah, so what's y'all's excuse?
Yeah. I want to ask you, Mom, what's the temperature like in Georgia right now with the...
Chilly.
Yeah, with the
chilly. I didn't mean that temperature.
I meant the physical temperature with it because of that video that came out with the young man who was shot back in February.
Oh, so you're talking about that? I'm sorry. Well, I'm not too sure. Let me say this. Brunswick is a little distant from us. It might be some of the major cities and places that are reacting to it right now for us. Mm-hmm. I don't mean in a negative way, but are really reacting to it for us, giving support. I'm really pleased with those cities who have rallied behind this family and behind what has gone on. There's another misjustice that unfolded right in front of our eyes.
Right.
So it affects. It's not over yet. I think as a matter of fact, it's just a kickoff right now.
Yeah.
So I think this is something, but you know, this is, I can't say I'm not surprised because this is the attitude and atmosphere of our United States right now.
It sure is. It surely is.
It should not be a shocker to us. My prayers and thoughts go out to this young man, but this has been the atmosphere for some time now.
Yes.
It's things that we thought we had gotten past.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all of these things are rolling back around again.
They are. Yes, ma'am, they
are. They're all rolling out. And it's not, and we could kind of see it coming. We're not burying our heads in the sands. We know that the atmosphere, the temperature of this United States has changed over the last couple, 2 or 3 years.
Oh, that most definitely since
all the things
2016
that we thought we had come.
Yeah. Yeah,
we look around and say we haven't come any place.
Right.
We haven't made any kind of a mark as far as race goes.
Well, it tells us that we can never take our hand off the plow.
You
know, the moment that people rest and say, "Okay, we on the other side," now you are not on the other side. So
that's right. That's it, Sharon. I couldn't put it better.
Well, I mean, it's
never
rest.
Up.
Yeah, advocates cannot rest. They just
cannot rest. I have to quote Tyrone Brooks when he said, former state representative Tyrone Brooks, when he said, "A movement is not for a moment."
Mm-mm. Amen. That's for real, right
movement
there.
Is not for a moment. So if you're in a movement, it should be continuing. Every day should be part of that movement.
Absolutely.
You should steadily be moving.
Absolutely.
A movement is not for a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that story is coming up in just a second on this. Hattie, what is our words of wisdom this morning for our mothers and words of encouragement from you, oh wise woman?
Well, my encouragement for mothers is probably what I've always said to mothers, especially young mothers that you know, maybe single family, household. And you don't have to be single family. But I say the one thing that I say that would take you through this time is when the doors of the fellowships open.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you and your families attend some type of worship, that you're connected to some kind of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of worship. It helps you. I know sometimes you have to work and you're tired, but make sure that if you can't make it there yourself, make sure your children are involved in some kind of worship service, church service.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Bring them up that way. And I know it's a struggle sometimes when you work from Monday to Saturday, and you Sunday is the only day that you have off. Find a fellowship that will pick up your children,
mm-hmm.
even if you can't make it. And you attend whenever you can.
Mm-hmm.
But let them come up in a godly way.
Mm-hmm.
The church and the fellowship is an extension of things that sometimes, as parents, we can't do. But it's something about growing up in a church. And when I say a church, as black folks and typical people, we say church. We know church is in the heart, but people know when I say church, people think of a building. So I'm going to use it in that term.
Right.
Let your children fellowship somewhere.
Hmm.
Somewhere.
Amen.
When they're growing up. And even when they're not, you need to say, well, they're not listening. They won't stray too far from it. They may go away from it, but they'll come back to it.
Hmm. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
This morning for the word.
Amen. Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Thank you very
Let
much.
Let them go to Sunday school.
Amen.
Let them learn something about God.
Amen. And they'll grow up in it. And
they'll grow up in it. Yeah. Right. They may stray from it,
yeah.
but it's still there.
It is. The old rugged cross, it stays with you. I can remember
Sharon,
singing them songs.
We know that we strayed away from it. We grew up that way. Then you say, oh, I got to go out here and do this, but then you come back to it.
Yeah, you do, because you come crawling back and say, God, please help me.
When you're out there, it never leaves you.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I mean, you know, I don't know how you came back, Hattie, but I was like, God, please, I need you right now. This stuff is a mess, Lord. I mean, who? I came directly straight up in there, and you know, and still to this day, when I have a moment of whatever, I get to singing them old church songs.
I was telling my kids, I was telling somebody this past week. I said I can recall because you know I grew up in North Carolina and moved to New York after high school. You know, my dad was a preacher and all this, so you know, I grew up strict, no card playing, no records, no. But I grew up, you know. We didn't have any of that. So I said, I'm out of here. So I was a friend of mine was going to New York, and they invited me to go. So I said, yeah, it's a bright life in New York. And no matter where I went, look, when I'm up there, 19 years old, 18, half, 19, we may hang out. We may come straight from the club, but we went to church. And we 500 miles away. So I'm saying this to say it doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you have in you is going to remain there.
Yeah.
No matter how much we partied, we got up and went to church.
Amen.
You went to the club, Ma?
Hung out. Zombies coming up sometimes.
I didn't know that.
But I say this so people don't think that when they see you now, you've been through some things and some things. So when people are talking to you and you hear people say, don't give up on them, when they talk about their children, don't give up on them.
Right, right.
Don't give up on them.
That's right.
That's why I was saying, mothers, let your children come up in a godly environment. Even if you're not in the home, send them to church. If you can't make it there, let somebody pick them up and take them to church.
Yeah, that's true.
Let them hear the word of God. Let them attend Sunday school.
Yeah.
Bible study, whatever fellowships you have in your fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah. Mamas have lives, okay?
I was being I was being funny.
I know, but I'm just saying. Yes, we had lives, okay.
Yeah. We had lives.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Yeah. I got a taste of that strict life from Granddaddy, you know, just a little bit. So I know what she's talking about. Not to her degree, because she lived there, but I know.
Well, I'm sure that was just really a lot, you know, being a preacher's kid, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Pressure.
Yeah, definitely. But, Hattie, now you know from that pressure, you make a diamond.
That's right.
Okay.
That's true.
Now, see there, we can touch and agree right there.
That's right. Amen. You have some experiences. That's what I tell people. I can't tell you, I can talk to you and I can listen to you about, let's just use drugs. I can listen and talk to you about drugs, but I can't tell you how it feels to be on drugs.
Right.
So rather than me to misdirect you, I can direct you to somebody who can relate to it better than I can.
Right.
See, sometimes people that have been drug addicts and have done a lot of things and they become preachers and God calls them away from it,
mm-hmm.
we kind of tear them down and try to break them down, but
sure.
Who better to tell people about these woes of life?
That's true. There's somebody who's walked in those shoes.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you it could not be a truer statement than that.
That's right.
And that's for real right there. Because, you know, people that have suffered through, that's why alcoholics and drug addicts are, when they get their testimonies and you're trying to get clean, you know you better listen because they got the stories that's hitting too close to your porch.
Sorry to see it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Lord,
that's right.
Definitely. I thank you, Hattie, for being the strong tower and the great woman that you are. And I wish that you have a blessed Mother's Day, and thank you.
And happy Mother's Day to you, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know you're missing your mom again this year.
And it just, you know, it's better now than it was the first year. I was done. I was just wiped out.
Right.
But you know, it's been since 2015, and you know, it gets better. I can dwell on some of the funny stories and things that you know, look back at some stuff and just, you know, say, boy, we had a good time that day. Lord have mercy.
That's right.
So, you know, that's
let me say this, and I know you're trying to get off. Do you find yourself saying, this is what mama used to say? Is what my mama used to say.
I'm almost like her, so much is scary. Okay?
That's right.
I mean, almost. I'm like getting scared. I'm like, oh my God, I'm starting to walk and talk like my mama. Oh my God. at least that's what my children tell me. And but my one of my kids, my oldest daughter, said, Mama, your voice sounds just like grandma sometimes, because you be, you know. And I said, well, you know, I can't help it. You know, it's just the way it is. But that's who your parent, you know. You love them.
That's right.
Anyway, well, Hattie, I appreciate you, my All darling. Right. And it's so good to hear your voice. And,
but good to be hers. That's right. And I'll be still continuing to listen on after I hang up. I'll still on.
Amen. Thank you so much, and have a blessed rest of the day.
Love you, Mom.
All right. Love you too.
Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That is X's mama, live from Athens, Georgia. And we thank her. She's been a tremendous support to him and his family, and to the broadcast by supporting us and praying for some years now. I've been on the show. Your mama's a star, man.
Yes, but you know, she doesn't accept that. She is. She's very well known.
Yeah.
There, and but she won't let you put her up there on that.
Well.
Yeah, she just won't. Yeah.
It's for other people to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's for other people to do. And then, you know, when your kids act right, then that really does.
That's true.
Put the exclamation point and the highlight on it. Mm-hmm. When you see how your fruit turns out, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, glory. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And latest from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on the situation in Georgia, the GBI. Agents in the Ahmaud Arbery murder investigation are reviewing additional video from the Glynn County neighborhood where he was shot to death as they piece together the minutes before the fatal confrontation that has drawn national attention to Georgia and its justice system. The paper goes on to say investigators are viewing the tape recorded minutes before the February 23rd killing to gain a better understanding of what transpired before the shooting. GBI Deputy Director of Investigations says they are using video to put the timeline together to fill in the blanks of what happened that particular afternoon. The digital video file was obtained by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution from a source outside the GBI over the weekend, and investigators confirmed it was part of the case file when the agency entered the case on Tuesday. The video appears to be from a home security camera installed at a home about a block from the shooting. And after the video was posted online, we are indeed reviewing additional video footage and photographs as part of the active case, according to the GBI yesterday. And that came several hours after the article came out about the video. It appears to note that the footage was reviewed at the beginning of the investigation and before the arrests of Gregory and Travis McMichael. And a former Fulton County prosecutor who reviewed the video yesterday said it doesn't appear to alter the criminal questions facing the two men arrested in the case. Lawyers representing Arbery's family said in a statement yesterday that the security camera video proves Arbery did nothing wrong prior to the fatal encounter. Ahmaud Arbery did not take part in any felony, had no illegal substances in his system, was not armed, yet was shot three times with a shotgun at close range. Arbery's family said he liked to jog in the area. One of the armed men who confronted him that day later told police they pursued him because they thought he had been involved in an earlier break-in in the neighborhood. So you'll be hearing and seeing more about that video as it comes out. And, of course, the man who shot the video in the first place, who's watching the whole thing play out, his being there was interesting.
Yeah.
It really was.
How did he know to film that?
Well, that would be the question. And, you know, he seemed to dip out for a minute on that.
Mm-hmm.
But on that video, it kind of dips to the side or something like that.
And one of the craziest things, this took place in February.
Yeah.
And the guy gets indicted, what, Friday was it?
Yeah.
The father and son. Yeah, Friday. This has happened in the middle of February.
Well, you know how stuff is slow to come out if it's us. You already know that. The social justice arm of Jay-Z's Roc Nation Entertainment Company is calling on Georgia officials to take quick action in this case of Ahmaud Arbery. And musician Sean Jay-Z Carter, or musicians rather, Sean Jay-Z Carter, Alicia Keys, Mario Yo Gotti Mims, and others signed an open letter published in the paper there in Atlanta today. The letter said, in today's paper, the district attorney, Tom Durden, should be recused from the case, and state attorney general, Christopher Carr, should elect a special prosecutor. Alicia Keys said Arbery's death was heartbreaking, unbelievably unacceptable, and inhumane.
As no William Barr, he's not weighing in or trying to find out what's going on here?
Don't start me. Don't start me. But all eyes will be continue to be on this particular case out of Georgia. And also in sad news, Andre Harrell, the Uptown Records founder who shaped the sound of hip-hop and R&B in the 80s and 90s with acts such as Mary J. Blige and Heavy D, and he launched Sean Combs' career. He died. He was only 59 years old. That was Andre Harrell. Very, very well known in the music industry and a great deal of success. So we're coming up at 8 o'clock with Reverend Dr. Barbara L. Peacock, her new book, Soul Care in African American Practice.
She's ready.
All righty. Let's take the time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.